I want you to open your Bibles very quickly to Ephesians 2, and I'm going to wrap this up because of time, because I want you all to come back tonight. And I want you to know we are being moved by the Holy Spirit today. How many are glad that we're not doing a program right now? Six people, that's awesome. Turn to Ephesians 2. And tonight, you don't want to miss tonight, 6:30 p.m., my wife is going to be preaching tonight. So all you women, call up the other women. All you guys, come and check out my hot smoking wife. Anyway, I can't believe he said that in church. Yep, she is. Anyway, let me just read this to you. It says in verse 2, starting in verse 1, "And you he made alive," say alive,
"alive,
who were dead in trespasses and sins." He made you alive. "And in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy," are you listening? "But God," I love God's big but, "who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, in which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive." Say alive.
Alive.
Amen. I tell you, there's some faith in here this morning. Amen. I can feel the presence of God. That's the ingredients to have miracles in your life. Did you know that? The atmosphere of expectation of something's going to happen when I come to church, that's the breeding ground for miracles. So you need to get ready for tonight. Tonight's going to be one of those tear the roof off nights. I can just feel it. This is a great start to a Sunday. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know about you, but I grew up where we just kept on doing meetings every day until the Lord said quit, because people just get saturated in his presence and people walk away. They start to know who they are. Next thing you know, God starts to speak to them about their own life, their ministry, their finances, their business. It's awesome. Check it out. So verse 6, "and raised us up together," sorry, verse 5, "even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive," say alive again,
"alive,
together with Christ, by grace you have been saved." It was by grace that you got saved. You didn't do anything. God's grace saved you. So all of you, "well, I've given my life over to the Lord." Really? How about he finally gave you an opportunity to give your life over to him? You think you're having a good time? "Well, you can only understand all the things I gave up to serve the Lord." What? Drunk? Hooked up on drugs? Messing around with women? Men? Come on. You didn't give anything up. You gave nothing up. God saved you by his grace. That's the only reason you're saved, is because of his grace. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right, you go into verse 6. "And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Do we understand that salvation is really a gift? We don't deserve it. Every single one of us in here deserve to go to hell. Do you know that? Yeah, there's a place called hell. It's really hot down there. It's really bad. But you know what makes hell hell? Not the flames and the brimstone and the fire. It's the fact that God is not there. Now, I listened to a couple people that preached on going to hell because they went to hell. They died and went to hell. And they were Christians. Got really quiet. They were Christians. It was really bad. They said it's the worst place you could think of. And not only is God not there, but he forgets you. When I heard that, I was like, okay, bad place. Everybody say this, hell?
Hell.
Bad.
Bad.
Heaven?
Heaven.
Good.
Good.
Very good class. "Not of works, lest anyone should boast." I'm in verse 9, now moving to 10. We're in Ephesians 2, verse 10. "For we are his workmanship." How many know God is still working on you? How many know even before you get to 99, he'll still be working on you? How many know life works on you? Some people want to go get a tattoo. I say, that's a dangerous thing to do. They go, why, Roy? I says, because when you're 25 and you get a butterfly on your arm, by the time you're 85, it looks like an elephant. And then all your flesh ends up in different places that it didn't start out in. Let's go back to the scripture now. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Verse 11, therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in flesh by hands. How many are glad that they're not circumcising us anymore? Three people, that's awesome. Back in those days, you had to be circumcised. What would that be like in the church? Would you have circumcision teams? Yeah. People lined up. I'm here to be circumcised. I'm from the church of twice cut. Anyway. Verse 12, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off. How many of you know we have been afar off? Even Christians here today, we have been afar off. It's time to come back to the Lord. It's time to realize why we even are on this earth. And it says, because you were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. If God didn't send his son, then it would be a bad deal, because they had to do lots of stuff just to touch God. But when Jesus died, it was finished. The blood was shed. It was put on the mercy seat. And now, man, for the first time, could have a relationship with God, just like in the days of Adam and Eve. Do you know that's the kind of covenant we live in right now? That has not passed away. I don't care how many services you've been in. I don't care how many churches you've gone to. That new covenant is here today. And you have availability to the Father. We just said, saying, show me your face, Lord, that I might stand in this holy place. What is that saying? It's saying, God's saying, come and be with me, because I want to know you. Let's read on to verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has been made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, therefore putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you, you and me, who were afar off, and to those who were near. And for through him we both, listen to me, we both, read it right there, verse 18, we both have access by one Spirit now to the Father. Do you realize you have access to God? You have access to the Father, who holds all the power, who holds the very universe in his hands. We have access to him today. Not a great story we read about years ago. Today we have access. The disciples that Jesus chose were mere men. They weren't even educated. And God used 12 people to light the world on fire. How many in this room, you'd like to be lit on fire in 2009 to stir up Kingston and all your family and all your business and all your town and all your ministry and all your church? You have access to the Father right now. And the Bible says, if you believe, then signs and wonders will follow you, which means you can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Read on to verse 19. Now listen to this, and this is where I'm ending right here. It's a short little sermonette, because I want you to understand what you have on the inside of you. This whole weekend we have spoken on, I am a carrier of the presence of God. There is no more ark anymore. In the Old Testament, they carried around an ark. You had to be a certain person, wear a certain part of clothing. You had to have perfect life. You could not sin at all in some cases if you're going to go in and pray, because if you did, the presence of God in the Ark of the Covenant, it was a literal Ark of the Covenant, it would kill you. You had to wear bells around you. You know why? It wasn't part of the garments. That's something they added along. You know why they added along? Because people were going in with sin in their lives and they dropped dead in the presence of God. Imagine what that was like. Hey, Joe, you better take an extra set of bells because I saw you last week and it didn't look like you were doing so well. How many can thank God the veil's been ripped in half? We don't have to do none of that stuff anymore. The Bible says we can come boldly into the throne of grace. Boldly we can come. Just like you come to your father when you were a kid. And you interrupt him. I've got my kids here today. And they sometimes, while we've ministered, they come up on stage and they interrupt me all the time. You know why? They have access. They have a relationship with me. They also have a red mark on their butt when they do it. But here's the deal. Now listen to this. Verse 19, and I want you to hear this in your spirit today. If there's anything I can get you this morning to hear before we enter in tonight, listen to this in your spirit because this is speaking about you. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. May God bless the declaration of the word going into your heart like a missile. Because this is what the word is about you. This is not stories any longer about the disciples. Folks, James, John, and Peter, God bless them. Thank you for following Jesus for the years you did. Thank you for being hung upside down, Peter. That was wonderful. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for being cut in half. Stephen, thank you for being stoned. Thank you, the rest of you, for being martyred. But they're all dead. And it was over 2,000 years ago. And God is saying, who will rise up today? Now, we have many revivalists that have come through New York State. Charles Finney. Billy Sunday, 1924, he came to Elmira. 400,000 people flooded the college to hear him preach the gospel because he was an ex-baseball player that gave his heart to Jesus. Back in the Civil War, there were 10,000 men in Culpeper, Virginia. I went there and preached in this place called Raccoon Ford Christian Fellowship. When they gave me the name of the church, I thought, oh, what am I getting into? Raccoon Ford Christian Fellowship in Culpeper, Virginia. Yeah, you take a left at the dead raccoon, take a right at the tree. There's a stream there, and you want to go over that. And then when you get there, you got to be careful because there's a hump there with some grass on it. And our church is basically right there on the right. But they told me on that land, 10,000 soldiers at night, because they couldn't fight and see each other, they all came together, the enemy and the offensive and the defense. Okay, both sides came together. Both sides came together and they got on their knees and they all accepted Jesus into their heart and then they killed each other the next day. Well, because you're on one side, you don't know who your counterpart is and you have to do what the military tells you, but they all gave their hearts to the Lord. I think they're covered. That's just my opinion. The Bible says whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So what I'm trying to tell you here as I'm finishing up here is that, read 19 again. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Which means you have access to everything that God has access to. All the things that the disciples did in the past, you have access to right now. But when you don't practice it, what happens? It leaves you. That's why Jesus said, hold fast to your confession. Why? You can lose your confession. Some of you in this room, you got saved, but you forgot that you got saved. Now you just attend church. That's it. You just come on Sunday morning. That's it. Being saved is not a comfortable sit down, that's it, that's all there is to it. No. When you ask Jesus in your heart, he said to the disciples, some of you are going to be martyred. I'm not even sure the church is ready for what is to come. Which is why the Lord is raising up young folks like myself and saying, listen, be a person of character and integrity that can stand with the name of the Lord on your chest and go forward and march in the battle and rise up all those that have been laid and dead and rise them up from the grave. You say, what are you talking about? I'm not talking about the actual dead. I'm talking about the living dead. Some churches I go into, it's like a bunch of wax dummies sitting in the pews. Fire of God comes, no wonder they melt. You got to go beyond just coming to church on Sunday morning. You need to realize you have access to the Father. You don't even need a pastor or an evangelist or a prophet or apostle or a teacher to even pray for you if you realize what you have. You can enter in yourself and say, Lord, I'm connected to you. And you said, anything I ask in your name will be done unto me. You said, if I come together, if two or three are in his name, he is there amongst them. I'm telling you, Jesus is actually his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, right here, right now, right here, right now. You have to realize what you have access to. And the enemy has been so sly in convincing the church, you don't have to do signs and wonders, just pull back from that, because most of that stuff's charlatan anyway. And he diffuses faith in you. But I'm telling you, as much as I have breath in my lungs, if you believe that God has touched you, if you believe you've been saved, then you have full access to the Father. And that means you can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Can you say amen?
Yes.
How many believe that this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Are you stirred this morning?
Yes.
Has this blessed anybody in here?
Yes.
I want every head to bow right now in this place. Every head bow. Every eye closed. Nobody looking around. Now maybe you're in here tonight, number four guys, like last night. On black. Thank you. Maybe you're here this morning and this is your first time coming to church. Maybe you've gone to church, but you've never actually made Jesus the Lord of your life. I want to give you an opportunity this morning, and I need to ask you a very important question. If today you were to walk out these doors, get into your car, and your life was about to end, and you passed over from this life into eternity, could you honestly say in this room tonight, being honest with yourself and with the Lord, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you would spend eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ? If you don't know the answer, the Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can call upon him and he will come and touch you. And he won't just touch you so you can join a church. He'll touch you where he'll change the life that you're living, and it will even touch your family and others around about you. If that's you today and you say, Roy, I must know Jesus this morning, will you lift your hand right now and just say, Roy, pray for me, please. Thank you, sir, in the front row. Anyone else? Thank you, sweetheart, in the back. Thank you. God bless you in the back, dear lady. Thank you in the middle, dear lady. Anyone else this morning? God bless you in the way back, dear lady. Thank you. I see your hand. Anyone else this morning? Thank you, I see your hand. Thank you, I see your hand. God bless you. Anyone else this morning? All right, I see your hands. Thank you. I have a second call for you now. Maybe you're coming to church and you've asked Jesus, I see your hand for that first call. Maybe you've come to church all your life and you came down to the altar at one time and gave your heart to the Lord. You asked him into your heart. You asked him to fill this place, and now all of a sudden you've grown cold. Well, it's nothing new under the sun, because the Bible declares in the last days, many will grow cold from the faith. He said in his word, if I didn't shorten the days, even the elect would fall away. He's speaking about Christians this morning. You can lose your faith. I dare to say you can even lose your salvation because you give yourself over to the enemy and you no longer yield to the Spirit, but you yield to the enemy. If that's you this morning, you can call upon the Lord and he will save you. He will bring you back into a fellowship of peace and joy, and it will change your life. Now, if you've already answered the first question, then don't raise your hand. But if that's you and you've asked Jesus in your heart, but you've grown cold, you've backslidden, you've fallen away, and you want to come back to the Lord, today is the day of salvation. Today, everything can change. Just lift your hand and say, Roy, that's me. Would you pray for me? Hands up all over the building. Thank you, sir, in the back. Thank you, sir, in the front. Thank you, sir. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you. That's the best decision you could have ever made today. I see your hand in the middle, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir, on the side. God bless you. I have one final call because I don't want anybody to get out of this. I want everybody to have the opportunity that I had. I want everybody to have the opportunity that everyone else has had. Maybe you're in this place today and you've asked the Lord into your heart. And not only have you fallen away, but now you've gone in such a deep place of evil in your life that now you're living a double life. And when you come to church, you smile at everybody, but on the inside, you're dead. And you're still involved in sin in your life. You go home and you're still addicted to pornography, but nobody knows that you log on to the internet because nobody's in the room with you when you close the door and you lock it and you pull the drapes down. Maybe you're addicted to drugs and alcohol, still in this place today, and you put some cologne on or you put a breath mint in your mouth so nobody will recognize at church. Sir, madam, you're leading a double life and the Lord wants your life. Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand, it will fall. I got good news for you. He said, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can get this right today and you can tell the devil, I'm done serving you. I'm no longer going to have these nightmares anymore. I'm no longer going to have voices talk to me in the night. I am giving my life to the Lord. If that's you right now, with nobody looking around, every eye closed, every head bowed, please, in respect of other people, just lift your hand right now and say, Ro, would you pray for me? I got to get it right. Thank you, sweetheart. Anyone else? Thank you, sweetheart. God bless you in the back. That's the best decision you've ever made. Anyone else in here this morning? You're leading a double life. Thank you, darling. I see your hand. Thank you, young man. Anyone else? God bless you. God bless you. All right. I want all the people that have raised their hand for all three calls, I want you to rise to your feet right now and come to the altar right now. Now is the time to take care of this. If you've answered all three calls, the first is you don't know the Lord. Second is you've grown cold. Or third, you're leading a double life. Come right closely right now to the center. Jesus said, if you can't confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father. Come right in here. Don't make a big line. Just come in together. We're in this together. This is real. This is real. Come. There's still two people in this room that you didn't even answer the call. And the Lord is pounding your heart right now. You feel a warm sensation. I want everybody here at the altar to lift your hands to heaven. That's where your help comes from. Just put your eyes on Jesus right now. He's the only one that can save you. There are two more people in here right now. Your heart is beating fast. You're looking at these people up front and going, well, I don't think I need to join them. But you know the Lord is dealing with you. You know the Lord wants you to make a stand again and recommit. You know He doesn't want you to lead this double life. There's one more person. Your heart's beating, man. Don't fight this. There you go. God bless you, buddy. Best decision you've ever made. Come in close, y'all. Come in close with these folks. Come close. Please. Thank you, Lord. Just lift your hands to heaven. That's where your help comes from. Now, when we say this today, I don't want you to just say it because you're repeating a prayer. You are speaking to the Lord God Almighty. Every demon in hell is listening. Every angel in heaven is listening. The Bible says that God rejoices over one soul that's saved. It's not just the people that don't know the Lord. It's people that knew the Lord and they come back like the prodigal son. And he says, get the fatted calf. Put the ring on his finger. My son's back. So with your heart and your eyes on Jesus and with your mouth, I want you to say this, Lord Jesus, I come to you today, a person in desperate need of a Savior. Lord, I confess to you today, forgive me for trespassing on others and you. I recognize today I cannot do this life without you. You said in your word that if I would confess my sins to you and to others, that you would forgive me. I receive your forgiveness right now. And I ask you to take the weight off my shoulders. Take the hurt out of my heart. Take the stone out of my heart. Break off the callousness that is formed around me. I confess to every demon in hell today that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. I am saved. I'm set free, delivered from every addiction, from every wrong thought. I am Jesus' child. I belong to the Lord. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, today that you would walk with me again. That you would help me to hear your voice. Wash me in the precious blood of Jesus. Fill me. Cleanse me. Make me brand new. In Jesus' name. And Lord, help me to forgive just as you've forgiven me now. In Jesus' name. Now lift your hands and thank Him from your heart. Don't do it for me. Thank Him from your own heart. Thank you, Lord. Now I want all of you to look at me real quick. Look at my eyes. Look at my eyes. This is real. This is not a church service, really. This is a moment in eternity that God is getting a hold of you. And I want to tell you here this morning, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, by the power of God and with the help of the Holy Spirit, I tell you today, all your sins from today and all past are forgiven you now. I think you just need to shout right now to the Lord and say, thank you!
Thank you, God!
Woo!
Come on, we can all join in on that.
Hallelujah! You may return to your seats. If you just return to your seats real quickly, I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Vaughn.
Praise God.
Wow. I'd
just like to invite Melanie up, please, love. Come and stand next to your husband. Stay here, right?
Okay.
I need that.
Oh, okay.
Praise God. You can, that was pretty. That's loud enough. Now, in all honesty,
love you.
Using the capital B, who was blessed this morning?
Using the capital
B. Yeah.
Capital B.
I certainly was. This is our third meeting together, and God really touched me every single meeting. But this morning, really,
me too.
Appreciate you, brother.
Me too.
And your lovely wife.
Yes.
And your little kinders, wherever they are. I don't know. Are they downstairs with the others?
Somewhere.
They're somewhere. Yeah, I remember that feeling. Where are your children? Oh, they're safe. They're safe.
Oh.
You know, it's funny how thank you, Lord. The reality of when the Word actually becomes flesh, when the Logos becomes a Rhema, do you know what that means? It means when the written Word actually becomes illuminated. We were talking last night, the whys and the ifs and the ands. And you know what? I believe the greatest mystery, one of the great mysteries, there's a couple of mysteries in the New Testament. One is about Israel, one is about marriage. But I think the greatest mystery, and I sincerely mean this, is that most people, most believers, do not believe when the Bible says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Because if we really believe that, you know we'd be doing it for a living. Somebody said, well, what do you do for a living? You're a truck driver? No, I'm a giver. Yeah, I wake up, my hours are 6 in the morning till midnight. That's all I do is give. Because the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. But come on, folks. That's why people aren't getting healed from different diseases when you pray for them, is you don't actually believe that reality. And it's so simple. It's the simplest instruction in the Bible. Yet our minds cannot agree with our generous spirit. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, you are now partaker of his divine nature, and his divine nature is completely generous. For God so loved the world that he sowed his only begotten son so he can bring many sons to glory. God's a sower, God's a giver, more than anything else. And that divine nature has been imparted to you when you're born again. And the problem now is for your head, your soul, your emotions, your intellect to agree with the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, which is inside of you. And that's the dilemma. So I'm saying that because many of us have been around a long time. We love quoting, "My God shall supply all my needs." But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, "My God will supply all your needs." But Paul here, this is a gift to the apostolic movement. This is a gift to those who are going on to another place that the gospel can be preached. That's what the context of Philippians 4 is. He says, not that I speak in regard to one. He said, I've learned to abase and abound. I know these guys. I've known Roy a long time. Was it been as long as that? As long as long time? 17 years. And I know their life. And so what I'm saying is this. Paul said to the Philippians, he said, not that I speak in regard to need, because I've learned to be content. He said, but so it may go on your account. Now, do you understand? When you give, it goes into your account in heaven. And some of you can look at it every way you like. I've lived this. 1979 was the last time I had a secular job. I've been saved less than a year. And I've seen God do this. In fact, I'm just, as you know, I'm taking my book that I've just written to India next week because he can print 2,000 copies for $500, and I'm going to get those books into the hands of the pastors in India. So I'm just saying this to you. There's an envelope on your seat for Roy's ministry. Can you see the envelope? Did you pick it up earlier? You see, when you give this morning, you're actually giving into Australia, you're giving into South Africa, you're giving into the next trips that he'll be taking, hopefully to Hong Kong, many other places, and it will go on your account. Is that simple enough? So let's begin to be generous. Let's understand the reason some of you are financially stuck is because you stop giving. Let's just prepare our hearts. You make your checks out to run with fire. Put your cash in that envelope. Ushers, come forward, please. You can. Say that again. We can give by credit cards or checks. We want to bless Roy and Melanie's family. We want to bless their ministry because I want to sow into their ministry so that it will continue and bless the people of the world. Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we take your authority over our doubt, over our unbelief. We thank you, Lord, for your generous spirit, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name.